Hi, I'm Dave Barnes.
And I'm John McLaughlin.
And welcome to Dadville.
Dadville is a podcast where we talk about life, love, and the pursuit of awesome dadding.
It's funny thoughts and deep talks.
So please, enjoy your time here in Dadville and enjoy this episode with...
Drew and Ellie Hoka.
Dadville is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Dave.
Yeah.
You want to know one of the relationships I'm most proud of?
I do.
There was a guy in college.
Okay.
Right. He and I disagreed on pretty much everything, right? Our personalities were different, and we barely had anything in common. Yet, he became a really important friend to me.
Oh, wow. How'd you become good friends in spite of all that?
Well, we just worked at it. We worked at our friendship. You know, we found common ground, and we discovered that a common misconception about relationships is that they have to be easy right off the bat, you know?
Yep.
It reminded me that therapy can be a great place to work through the challenges we face in all of our relationships.
Yeah, I agree. I think therapy is a great way to focus on the positive and find our strengths.
Mm-hmm.
It's so helpful. It teaches coping skills, helps you set boundaries, empowers you to be the best version of yourself.
You're totally right. And it isn't just for those who have experienced some huge trauma, you know?
Yeah.
It can benefit anyone.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Visit betterhelp.com/dadville today to get 10% off your first month.
That's betterhelp, HELP.com/dadville. How's everybody doing?
We're good, I think.
Collectively?
Yeah, we're doing great.
So nervous.
I should tell everybody who y'all are. So it's Drew and Ellie. Holcomb here with us.
Hey.
Drew is coming in hot from Glasgow.
I
learned this week, and as a 45-year-old, Glaswegians.
Oh, the Glaswegians.
Just learned about
that. I was on a train full of them.
That's what they're called.
That's what they're. If you're from Glasgow, you're called Glaswegians.
Glaswegians. They say it with a little different. Glaswegians.
Glaswegians.
I was on a train with like 20 of them, and there was 10 in the morning. We were going from Manchester to Glasgow, and they were already drunk.
Wow.
I was just about to say, what's a Glaswegian's like? Main characteristic.
Oh, like Glasgow is like seriously like blue collar alpha male vibes.
Wow. Okay.
It's Pittsburgh vibe.
So how do you feel in that?
I was gonna say I feel like you just slotted right in. You're like, these are my people. I love all of
them.
You're like, this is the easiest I've ever communicated with you.
I wasn't feeling it in the train. I was like, can you guys just be a little less loud? And they were hitting on every woman within the whole train.
That's not me.
No.
That's so funny. Okay, so we've been doing this fun thing where we have couples on, and we immediately thought of the two of y'all.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we love asking initially, because it obviously matters, is what's the meet cute? Like, how did you guys meet? I don't think I even know this.
Oh yeah.
I can tell it.
Yeah.
Ellie was a freshman at UT. I was a sophomore. And we had a lot of mutual friends because I met a bunch of – she went to CPA here in Nashville,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there were a bunch of CPA people my age, one in particular, a guy named Justin Carlson, and his now wife, Betsy, who they were just friends.
Shout out to the Carlsons.
Yep. So I knew of Ellie. I think she had heard of me as well, and we were at a pregame barbecue at a house in Fort Sanders, which is like the area next to campus. And she was standing on the stairs, and I was walking up the stairs, and someone introduced us. It was like, oh, hey, Ellie, this is my friend Drew. Drew's my friend Ellie, and I was like, hey, and first thing out of her mouth, she goes, hey, what'd you do today? And I was like, wow, what a, like.
That's a great start. That's
yeah.
a great start.
What'd you do today? And I had taken my first solo flight that day.
Holy cow, I didn't know you started that long ago.
Yeah, I started my sophomore year of high school.
Jeez Louise.
Oh.
So
I was
high
like,
school?
No, sorry, college. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Sophomore year of college. So I was like, ooh, what a great opportunity.
This is a perfect
yeah,
day.
Actually.
How about this lead in? Well, as a matter of fact,
I did
I
see
am
your
Maverick.
Face light up when I asked you that question. I was like, oh, you like
yeah,
this.
So I was like, actually, I flew an airplane by myself for the first time today. And so that.
Obviously, that was cool.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's maybe the best start of any.
Well, just wait for it.
Okay.
It doesn't get better from there. It leads to a crash and burn.
But we had a great conversation.
We had a great conversation. 4 or 5 months later. I didn't see her in the between time, and we were at Betsy's apartment with a bunch of friends, a big dinner, all people my age, and we're in the kitchen in a circle, And Ellie comes to the party, and she walks in the middle. She walks into the circle, and Betsy's introducing her to everyone in a row, the last one. So she introduces her to everybody. She gets to me, and she goes, wait. Ellie says, wait, I've met you before. Aren't you like a pilot or something? And I said, like this, well, I am. Who told you that? She goes, you did. And all of my friends were like, oh, you're using it as a pickup line. And I was like, well, she asked me what I did that day. So
isn't it crazy? Anyone who just flew a plane by themselves and then meets a girl at a party,
it's allowed to talk about it.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's the least. You don't even tell your, you don't even start with your name. You're just like, before I even tell you that,
Maverick.
I just flew it.
Yeah. You can call me Maverick, and here's why.
But isn't it crazy, like, why. If you think especially about those two interactions, like, if you could pause time and realize that so much is about to happen with these two people that they are so unsuspecting of. Like, they're going to they're gonna have kids and have a family and have this life together. Yeah, it started with, well, it's funny you asked. I was flying just moments ago.
Yeah.
Just moments ago. I was in
I'm 19, and I'm so proud of myself.
So,
But I'm like, that is... Flying a plane is amazing.
If there are, you know, 10 things you could have said that everybody's like, yeah, it's okay. I mean, flying a plane by yourself would have been okay to be proud.
Ellie, do you remember the moment where you like, oh, dang, this guy flew a plane?
I remember. That's not the answer that you get when you're a 19-year-old in college.
Right.
Yep.
From anyone
when
you ask, what did you do today?
Yeah.
Actually, I flew a plane. What?
Yeah.
I remember being like, that's so cool.
You're going to remember.
You weren't like, oh, he's in
a
model.
Her grandfather was a pilot, so it immediately led really into this conversation. Yeah. And she had fun with him as a little kid. And...
Yeah. It was awesome.
So I guess, were there sparks or no sparks?
For me, I just thought they were like friendship sparks for sure. I was
that
like, oh, this guy's so cool.
I don't think that's a thing.
There are no friendship sparks.
Friendship sparks. What are those?
It's like electrical heat.
It's like really calm warmth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heating blanket.
It's a radiator.
Yeah, it's like a heating blanket. That's exactly
right. There's no sparks.
A water bottle.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are those?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Meanwhile, I was like,
hello.
Hello. But also, I had, this shows my contrarian nature. Ellie was also like the freshman that all the sophomore guys were like,
yeah, yeah.
Have you met Ellie? Ellie Bannister. And so I was immediately like, I'm good. I don't need to be caught up in this trap.
Yeah.
But secretly, I was like, man, she was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then at the party, is that the jumping off point at the party then, 6 months later?
That's really weird. Like, we started hanging
began.
Out.
Yeah.
Because we had a ton of mutual friends. So
I invited her like a week later on my fraternity formal weekend.
Oh, cool.
And then I had to call her dad and like reassure him that my intentions were not to take her to Charleston for a weekend for, you know, ill repute, in the words of my mother.
I love
that. Did you really say ill repute?
I did.
With my dad.
No, gosh, no.
Oh, okay.
No, but anyway, so we went to Charleston, and while all of our friends were like on the beach drinking beer and being college students, Ellie and I went into Charleston downtown and did like a history walk.
Oh, I love that.
We were like total dorks. Everybody's like, party. And we were like, did you know this house was built? And I mean, I have a picture. I'm wearing glasses. I look like a little, I'm actually like a lot what I'm wearing right now. I wanted to be like Meg Ryan. I was a teacher. Yeah. Like a combination of
so
Meg
much.
Ryan and Dangerous Minds, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Right, oh,
like
okay.
That, but
got
like
edge.
Michelle Pfeiffer,
like
but with Meg
a
Ryan
small
style.
Bookstore, but you wear a leather jacket.
Sometimes. But I didn't own a leather jacket, so I just mainly was owning a small bookshop, like glasses.
Yeah, yeah. It's you and like the rest of the demo of that tour is like 81-year-old people, and then this really cute young,
exactly.
You know, 20-year-old. You know,
yep. I was a total history nerd.
So when's the moment where it's like?
So we had an absolute blast together. Danced like crazy. I mean, we had so much fun together, and we really like we always have. And we went home.
And she broke my heart.
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting. I went home from that weekend. I'd had my heart broken real bad in high school. I was still pretty much in love with like my high school boyfriend, who everybody was like, we were like the couple, they're going to get married, whatever. So that I was still kind of wrapped up in that. But I went home and I was like, I went home and I wrote a song.
Holy cow.
In college. It was one of my first songs. It was called Charleston. And it was like about how like I've missed the ship again. Like he's a really like I went home and I was like, hey, I don't want to date you.
And I was like, I didn't ask you to date me. I asked you to go on a formal.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's,
yeah,
that's an aggressive response.
But I've been really, I was a big flirt in college. I had led a lot of people on, like truly, because I was like searching for my identity or whatever. So I had been really convicted about that. And I was like, I don't want to lead this guy on, like, but I am going to let this go because I'm in a really not healthy place. So I, from a pretty like, I don't know, like, sober-minded place in my mind in college, I was like, hey, I just want to be your friend. I don't need to date anybody right now. I'm like not in a great
place.
This
is sophomore year for you?
This is my freshman
year. End of freshman
okay,
year.
Okay.
I'm like, that's pretty mature for
a
freshman.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, I was very much not mature for most of the freshman year. And then by moment. This point, I'd like kind of been like, hey. But I wrote a song about it because I was like, he's a really good guy.
Wow.
Like, and we had so much fun. And so I had this big conversation that was very awkward. Like, hey, I had so much fun with you. I just want to be your friend. I don't want to date you. And his response was, I didn't ask you to date me.
I love that so much. I love that so much.
It's like, this feels a little early.
Yeah. Like, and I was like, that.
You can't break up with me before
we're
dating.
What an awkward phone conversation. I remember I was in the middle of Presidential Square, and I was like, that's true. You did not ask me to date you. Sorry about that.
Which I'm imagining that had to be interesting to you.
I like love awkward. Like if you serve up to me something that deserves awkward,
you'll give it.
I will give it right
relish
back
in
to
it.
You.
Yeah.
You know. So I was just like, okay, I didn't.
That's fine.
I didn't ask you to date me.
She's and like, I was like, cool.
Yeah. Well, but you know, well,
I'm just
so
used to guys falling for me.
I'm just used to every guy falling for me. And I'm like, secretly, though, she was right. I was like, yeah, I totally fell for you.
Of
like,
course, yeah.
It's really a bummer to hear this news.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But we, so it really, like, I didn't believe him. He was like, I just want to be, I'm great. Let's just be friends. And then he was like, you were instigator of fun in our friend group. Like, he was like, hey, he's like, the plan, this is still who you are. I'm always like, talking to all our friends who, you know, are married, and to the wives, I'm like, I'm sorry for Drew. Yes, your husband away again, you know. Like,
I have three friends that literally have an annual line item budget in their life just says Drew.
I imagine Drew. Brad's Brooks. One of those.
Brad is definitely one of those. Brad didn't have to approve it though until he got married, you know.
Yeah.
Just Drew.
It's true, but he was doing that in college. He's like, hey, David Gray's playing in Nashville. Hey, we should go to this county fair. I've heard it's really good. Hey, there's this really cool, like, up in the mountains, they have this church and they come and do like little, like a bluegrass pool. Like, we're all going to go up and go. Like, this is literally who you were, and it's who you are now. Nothing has changed. It's awesome. And so, he kept inviting me to do stuff, and I just was trying to give space because I was like, oh, I think he likes me. So he got mad. I was getting distance from him because I felt like he maybe wanted to be more than friends. And I was like,
ran into her on campus, and it was one of those, like, I was just excited to see a friend. UT's huge. You don't really run into your friends that often.
Mm-hmm.
And, I saw her, and she was like the most awkward interaction I've had with someone. She was just like, hi. It was right after spring break. So I was like, hey, how was your spring break? It's fine. So I call her that night. I'm like, hey, can I take you to breakfast? I have something I need to talk to you about. And she was like, okay. So the next morning I pick her up behind her dorm, and we're going to this place called Long's Drugstore, which, you know, in Knoxville is a great little spot. It's 15 minutes away. And she's trying to small talk me the whole way there. And I was like, can we just wait till we get there to talk? Like,
I was like, oh, okay, so, yeah, let's listen to some music.
I am a lot of fun. I plan a lot of fun, but I'm also a fairly intense person.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's true.
It's fine. I'm okay with it. So, we sit down for breakfast, and we order, you know, some food. And then I say, well, the reason I brought you this morning, we went on this fun weekend thing. I've met you. We have a lot of mutual friends. I've invited you to do a lot of fun stuff. You've been weird about all of it. You told me on the phone that you didn't want to date me. You just wanted to be friends. I'm not sure what friendship is, but I feel like you're like treating me like I'm like some ex-boyfriend or something. And I'm just trying to be your friend and invite you to stuff. This really, you've treated me really poorly.
You've been a really bad friend.
You've been a really bad, if this is friendship, you're not good at it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like ready for a fight, you know?
Uh-huh.
And she goes, this is the moment I fell in love with her. She goes, you're right. I'm really sorry. And I was like, shoot. Now I want to get with you.
Oh yeah, now I'm really attracted to you.
But then from that point on, we really did build a cool friendship, and there's a whole lot of twists and turns. Five years later, we finally went on a date.
5 years.
Five years.
Yeah. So after UT, obviously.
Uh-huh. For me, she was getting her master's when we started dating.
Yeah.
Holy cow! Where were you?
Oh well, I graduated.
Yeah.
Two and a half years later, and then I went to Memphis for about a year.
Okay.
A year and a half.
Oh, that's right. That's
and right. Then we started dating while I was in Memphis. And
long distance in Knoxville.
Yeah.
Dang.
For about only for about 4 months, and then I moved back to Knoxville.
Before you did, just to tie in the pilot piece, you had bought a plane from Memphis.
Yeah.
Yeah, with his cousin.
This is like in 2004 when banks would let you like buy anything.
Jesus.
So my cousin, I went to a bank and bought an airplane on an interest only loan in 2004. We had it for 6 months and then we sold it at a profit.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's expensive to get your hours.
It was cheaper to do that and get our hours. He's now a commercial pilot for FedEx. But anyways, so I would fly to Knoxville. And
That makes sense. How long is that flight in that plane?
Well, it was probably 2 hours.
Jeez, that's amazing.
So he'd call and be like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm studying. What are you doing in 2 hours? Nothing.
You want to go fly over the Smokies?
Jeez,
that
is cool.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was awesome.
So then, after we started dating, 4 months later, I moved to Knoxville. 4 months later, we were engaged. 6 months later, we were married. So it was all pretty quick because we had known each other for so long. So.
My name is Dave, and his name is John, and that makes us
Dave and John.
I think that may be the best one I've ever.
That was run through one, people. Everyone thinks we rehearsed that, and we didn't.
No. John, but can I be serious for a second?
Please.
What's your favorite thing about ButcherBox?
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you asked that. Mm-hmm. All right. My favorite thing about ButcherBox. This is tough.
Okay.
But it's probably that it's the ultimate convenience, right?
Yep.
It's delivered right to my doorstep. Now, we've said this before. They could deliver it down the street, and I would walk gladly and get it because it's so good.
They could find another John that lives within a square mile.
Sure. And I'll connect with him. Yeah. We'll exchange information. We'll work it out. But they deliver it right to my doorstep, always with free shipping.
Yep.
And it's curated to my customized box plan.
That's right, Johnny.
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
Because they love you.
Yep.
With ButcherBox, I take fewer trips to the grocery store, John. Mm-hmm. I'm always prepared with meat in the freezer, and I get curated tips and recipes based on my box.
Ooh. I want to hear about one of those recipes right now,
Dave. Okay, I'll give you this one, okay? It's my glazed pork meatballs.
Okay, that sounds like sweet, tangy perfection.
How I was described in high school.
Yeah, it was.
When it comes to comfort food, John, meatballs have a special place in the hearts and stomachs of my entire family. These glazed pork meatballs take classic comfort food to a new level. They're perfect for a cozy night in.
That sounds so good.
Yeah.
All right. With all these cold, wet days, especially that we're having, I feel like I need a pretty long list of cozy night recipes.
Yeah, I get
you know what I mean?
They got you covered, dog. ButcherBox is on it.
They have great recipes and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Plus, exclusive member deals, recipe inspiration, guide, tips, hacks.
Yeah.
Now, Dave,
hey,
it's time to tell them about our special deal.
Let me just get ready.
Yeah.
Eat better this year with the best meat and seafood on the planet delivered to your door. ButcherBox is offering our listeners their choice of a weeknight meal essential. 3 pounds of chicken thighs, 2 pounds of ground beef, or 1 pound of premium steak tips for free in every order for a whole year.
That's unbelievable.
How do they stay in business?
Get
20% off your first order.
It's insane. So sign up today at butcherbox.com/dadville and use the code dadville to choose your free offer and get $20 off.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Gosh, John, I forget how good you are at karate. That's incredible.
I know, man. I mean, it's all about the right belt.
It is. Timing, you know, or your leather belt.
Exactly.
I feel like maybe, is that not, that's what you meant?
Not really, okay. But speaking of, Dave, I'm just going to try to transition to save you. Finally, Dave,
yeah.
Warm spring days are arriving. Am I right?
Isn't it great? You know what? I need a new pair of shades that I don't have to baby. Do you know what I'm saying, John? I don't want to take care of them. Let me put them on, take them off, and not have to worry about it.
Hey, Dave, I know exactly
what you mean.
Knock around is the solution. They've been making high-quality shades that don't break the bank since 2005.
Oh, wow.
And they've actually been my personal go-tos for years.
Oh, yeah. I love Knockaround, John. They have over 20 different frame styles, so there's something for everyone, including tons of kids' pairs.
That's right. So whether you're looking to rep your favorite sports teams, you know, like you're a sports guy, spend some relaxation time in the yard, or cruise down Broadway with the windows down like Dave does all the time.
All the time.
Every Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday. Knock around. That's what you need.
Yeah. All of their lenses have UV 400 protection, which is basically like sunscreen for your eyes, which, by the way, I've tried that and it hurts. Use the sunglasses, everybody. With polarized adult pairs starting at $28, you can get a few pairs to leave in your car, toss in your beach bag, or lend to a friend in need.
Dave, that is such a good price that I might buy a pair just to intentionally lose them.
I don't love that logic, John, but
I know,
you do have a history of misplaced. It's not around.
Don't fight me because of the karate stuff.
But it could be perfect for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, Dadville fans, don't squint through family beach days or trips to the park. Check out knockaround.com and use the promo code DADVILLE15 for 15% off your order.
That's DADVILLE15 for 15% off your order at knockaround.com. God, that is, I'd forgotten that y'all didn't start dating until that much later.
Later, yeah. And I almost married another guy. That ended, thank goodness. It was so unhealthy. I know, it was really bad. And when that ended, my first thought, because he used to get really mad, I would sing with Drew. And the guy I was dating, like, hated that. For very obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Because we had this like connection on stage. Drew's raising
his eyebrows.
Exactly
what he's doing.
But when that ended, it was really embarrassing, like really unhealthy, really like sad time. But it was so good that it ended because it was such an unhealthy deal. But he like broke up with me on the day he was going to propose to me. So it was
drama.
And when I was coming down from that, I literally, my friend, I was burning everything that the guy had ever given me in a moment of clarity. And my friend came up, she was like, A, is the house on fire? No, good. And then B, how you doing? And I was like, it's so weird. I was like, I can't, I'm okay. I think it's good that this ended. It wasn't great anyway. And I can't stop thinking about Drew, which just feels like moving on pretty fast, like as you're burning.
You're like, I can't stop thinking
Drew's
about
plane's Drew. Just circling ahead.
Yeah, Drew's he's flying. He's falling.
I got a
science.
Co-pilot. I put on a parachute. You got this, Billy. I'm jumping out.
You're just holding a ring.
I got to go see about a girl.
That's right.
Oh my gosh.
But it was a really like beautiful. It just was, I love the way that our story played out because I had him in the serious friend zone. So it was weird that I said that. I was like, I just missed Drew. That was my whole thing. And finally I got to the point where I was like, Mom, every time a guy asked me to go out on a date, I just can't stop thinking about Drew.
Wow.
I'm like, I want to, maybe I'll like the guy. I'll be like, yeah, let's go. But I just keep thinking, oh man, but I don't want this to change my friendship with Drew. And she was like, then you should probably go out on a date with him.
She's like, look, I'm not, may not the smartest person in the world, but what it feels like you're telling. So obviously, I mean, are you kind of keeping tabs on her that whole time? Kind of like, oh, she's dating this guy. Or you moved on?
Yes,
you
and
like,
no. I mean, once she started dating the other guy, I felt like my role was like, as her friend, was to just be your friend. And at that point I had sort of made peace with the fact that it wasn't me.
Oh wow.
And I had, in that season, I then graduated and started doing music and moved back to Memphis. So I was making a record. I was playing shows and living, and I had been, was flying a lot. And so I had made peace with, she had told me in our friendship that she's like, we're getting pretty serious, we'll probably be engaged this fall. So when she said that, I kind of was like, I'm not gonna try to angle anything here. Mm-hmm. I dated someone else in the meantime. Like it wasn't like me sitting around like waiting it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, the day that I heard that he broke up with her, I'll never forget. I was actually driving to Knoxville to go to a game and play a show the next weekend and spend a week with old friends. And I was listening to Tom Waits' Closing Time on the drive.
Yeah.
And there's the last track is the instrumental with the piano trumpet. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I played it on repeat for like an hour and just totally let myself imagine. But also, I called my brother, who's 5 years younger than me. So he was junior in high school. And he didn't like Ellie because of the way she had taken me for a ride. And I was like, he's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm just listening to this music. He's like, what's going on? You know,
wait, is it the last track? And how many times have you listened to it?
Yeah, exactly. And he was like, oh no, not her. This is bad. She's going to break your heart. So anyways, she obviously, you know, won everybody over as soon as they spent some time with her. But yeah, it was pretty quickly once they broke up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think my heart had always really had a very like serious, sincere affection for her. And it was very clear that at that point I was going to wait it out and see if I was the guy.
And then how long after that did y'all start?
That was in August, and we went on our first date the following May.
Oh, gosh. So a minute.
I just can't believe how
I told her how
long.
I felt about her in December.
Oh, wow.
She told me.
Oh, this is a good story. We were at the, what venue was that? He was playing a show in Nashville.
The old Sutler.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yes, right over here.
So at this point, are you guys playing together?
She's still in school. I'm playing a lot, but she's singing with me.
I come up and sing a song or two.
Like if you're
something.
Available, you'll go.
Yeah, like if it's Knoxville or Nashville, typically. Yeah.
Sometimes singing songs that were about me that I didn't know were
about
me.
Oh, my gosh.
Kind of crazy.
Well played, Drew. Well,
it was pretty aloof.
So I played this show at the Sutler in December, and I played this song, I Like to Be With Me When I'm With You, which is basically like a song about the friendship becoming the thing. And
I heard that song and I was like, oh, that's weird.
At this point, we were talking on the phone almost every day.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Are you singing these songs
hoping that you're the girl in the song?
Like, I just remember like when you almost don't breathe for a whole song is what happened to me.
It's hard when you're singing
a great song.
Oh my gosh, I've been there.
Proper.
True. But I was like, oh my gosh. And I had the thought for the first time, I was like, I kind of wish that was about me. That's how I feel.
And I'm also like, okay, I'm talking to you on the phone almost every day. How in the world do you not know for sure that this song is about you?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Whatever. You know, at least she's playing a little coy there.
Yeah, yeah.
But she still
swears.
She's
like, we were talking to other girls too every day.
Yeah,
just later in the day.
Later in the day. So anyways.
I'm the morning call.
I tell her that night, she took me to Centennial Park. And they used to have these magnolia trees that somebody put these nets up in.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember
I do remember those.
They're long gone. But so we climbed up in this magnolia tree and we're talking. And I was like, hey, that song is about you. And I know you're not ready to date anybody because you're dealing with this heartbreak. We've been friends for a long time. I don't just want to be your friend. And I'm willing to wait. But I do think I've earned the first date once you're ready to go on a date.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
And 5 months later, we finally went on our first date.
But then I'm assuming, like, were you at the place? All right, if we're going to, this is probably.
Yeah. I was nervous, but it's so interesting. We were at an Emmylou Harris concert in Oxford, Mississippi, in the square, double decker. Mm-hmm. And that's when he said, he was like, are you ready to let me take you out? Yeah, we were sitting on the courthouse stairs, and I was like,
oh, so that wasn't a date. Y'all
that was,
hanging.
We were just like with a group of friends, and I was like, I think I am actually.
I mean, it was kind of a date.
Yeah. It was like the testing ground.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just friends hanging out in a different state at a concert.
And all your friends are suddenly not there anymore.
Yeah, that is exactly how it went, actually. And I was like,
you like give them the cue, Drew, and everybody just disappears. Like,
literally. Everybody's in the know, but
everybody,
her.
Yeah. You know?
It's exactly what
funny.
It was.
But truly, I really think I am. And he goes, that is good because I have tickets to see Patty Griffin at the Ryman.
Oh,
in May.
I love
that.
And
I was like, yes, I love Patty Griffin. And we go to that, we show up, you know, he picks me up. We actually hung out earlier in that day because it was your birthday. So mm-hmm. I took you to lunch for your birthday, and then he came and got me later that night. And we're walking in to the Ryman, and he like grabs my hand across the street, and I was like, oh no, this is not this is not like this. He's like my brother. I cannot hold his hand. This is so weird. But literally, I can't.
And I'm like, you are not like my sister. That's not how I see you.
That is not how I am to you. And by the end, I say this to girls all the time. I'm like, don't write people off because you never know. But literally, by the end of that Patty Griffin show, I was like, I'm gonna spend the rest of my life with you.
Wow. Mm.
Like,
so you owe Patty Griffin
a lot.
Yes. Thank you for all these really. Sad songs about death that made her fall in love with me.
I feel like, did you guys feel pressure that night? I mean, you have this 5-year awesome friendship that you've built up, and then you're kind of going to roll the dice on a date.
Yes, that's exactly. Yeah. I did not want to ruin our friendship.
Right.
That's what I kept saying. I was like, I don't want to mess up.
I felt pretty confident that if we went on the date, it was going to happen.
Yeah.
So I was more like in a more of a celebratory point of view than I was a nervous point of view.
Yeah. Cause we
I was like, finally. I mean, what have we been doing?
Welcome.
Yeah.
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 To reality. But it really was like, it's the only way. And it's one of the decisions that I've made in my life. I always felt real angsty in, should I marry this person or not when I was dating? I had like two really serious relationships and they were always felt like that. And we never had really a conversation about getting married, but there was this like.
We didn't talk about it one time because I was like, all right, these other people that you've been with, they use marriage as a like a leveraging tool in the relationship. So when I asked her to marry me, she had no idea it was coming.
Yeah.
Everybody was surprised except for her best friend, who was also one of my good friends, was helping me with it. And then. My parents and her parents. So
how long have y'all been married now?
18 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's the segue?
18 years.
What's the segue? Good. Speaking of marriage, how is marriage what you thought, and how is it not what you thought it would be?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I didn't know, and it's a great segue from that story we just told. I didn't realize how much of marriage is a friendship, like this partnership. Mm-hmm. I think I had that realization when we went to that show. I was like, oh, I could spend all my days with this person who I just love to be with and who I respect and admire and have watched change and grow. Mm. And that is so much more of to me what marriage is, the romance and those like kind of like the butterfly, all those feelings, that was all there too and wonderful, but the steady presence of somebody who knows you and who chooses you anyway, it is I'm so grateful and I don't think I realized in the beginning that's really what this whole thing is, which makes sense because that is like such a reflection of God and his love for us. He sees us fully and chooses to love us and embrace us even when he sees us fully, which is like really vulnerable and uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I agree with that completely. Also, I think that there's if you ask my 18 years ago self, you know, what I would be surprised at now at 41. I think I would be surprised at how much both of you change. And that's a sort of part of the beauty is that, you know, you're kind of married to like a different person every couple of years and you are a different person every couple of years. And I know that sort of tension and like holding each other in that tension as you grow and change and giving each other space. Like I feel like when you're young married, you're like trying to create the like exact perfect relationship, which is hilarious because that's impossible.
Yeah.
And you haven't built up quite enough sort of trust and space for each other to be who you are, cause you're still becoming. But then as you get older, there's like the canvas with which you sort of paint your life on get so much more overlapped with each other that it's, it feels just like messier and more beautiful and funnier and and the hard stuff. Like we're walking through right now a really tragic family death of a young cousin who had cancer. And Ellie, it's my cousin, you know, so Ellie didn't know 18 years ago that she was going to step into this grief in January of 2024 of someone that she didn't know existed. And the same thing happens on, so you carry each other's weights and you step into these painful spots together to hold each other up, to walk through things. But you also do that on the celebration side. And then like the whole children thing is a whole nother super complex layer of it. But I think I've been so wonderfully surprised by how marriage has been, just this incredible like co-drive through life.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And I think for me personally, I saw myself as this like super strong. I'm gonna be such a great leader, and I'm gonna like really take family and marriage and life by the horns. And in a lot of ways I do that, but in so many other ways I have like clung onto Ellie as she's carried me through really difficult and hard things.
I mean, I can't agree more with what y'all said. I think that is the thing when I look back, and I don't know if that's because of like rom-coms or some American culture thing that gets imbued into all of us, but I do think there's just no way to understand what you said is so beautiful, Ellie. Like the importance of a friendship, knowing that 20 years from now, that is a lot of the time going to be the thing that's most connective, not the attraction, not the goosebumps, not when Ellie comes down looking beautiful and you're like, oh my gosh, this is what, you know, it's one of the reasons I love this woman. But it's those, it's just like, I just like you and it's just good to be with you like a lot. And I think one, and then two, the fact that there's just no way to understand how much we change. That's exactly right. I mean, we were meeting with a counselor years ago, and I'll never forget him telling Annie and I, he's like, oh yeah, this is like our sixth marriage together. I mean, it was like,
that's so
totally
good.
Resonates. Yeah.
Mind blowing to me. Cause I was like, what does that mean? And he's like, you're just always. And so when you realize there's no way when you're standing there in front of God and all your friends that they go, for sickness and health, you're like, yeah, I mean, because I love this woman, but it's the great, I laugh about this a lot, but it's like the great divine bait and switch, because it's like, it's how God gets you into this commitment, and then he's about to just rock tumble you to death. But, you know, like, and you can't understand it. You're like, this version of Ellie, I love her. This is the woman I'm marrying because this is who she is, and this is who I am, and we have space for who each of us are, and we connect on who we are. And then you wake up 10 years later and Ellie goes, hey, I'm not like that anymore.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that's not what I signed up for.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
You have to be, if you don't understand that, it's just impossible to do. But what helps with that is the friendship, is that thing where you're like, whatever version of this, I'm here because I love you and I want to be with whatever that is. It's just so hard to understand that when you're young 20s.
Well, and there's so many inputs too. You know, there's like, you each have your own families. You have your own relationships. You have your own sort of relationships with money and economics, politics, religious point of view, you know, how friendships. I mean, there's so much going on that takes time to get to know yourself and each other in that stuff. And I'm just really grateful. I think the thing that is the same, the thing that was true that I wanted marriage to be when I was a kid. When you're single before you get married, single meaning you're not even dating anyone, it's like, you really just like, man, I just wish I had somebody.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, it's really great to not ever think that. I've had about 6 dreams in the last 18 years where Ellie and I were not married in the dream.
It's the worst.
And I wake up in like a cold sweat. And I'm like, oh.
I hate these dreams.
It's just a dream. Thank God. You know? Because it's really, there's an anchor, there's a rootedness in the relationship that I dreamed about having. And now, don't get me wrong, I still fight loneliness like everybody does.
Sure.
In various ways. But that's not the piece that I've, you know, that I sort of wrestle with.
Dave. That's good. Hey, sorry to interrupt you. What are you reading there?
Oh, God. I was hoping you saw that I was reading. It's my copy of the Teen Study Bible. So, I'm going to get back to it if that's okay.
Yeah, that's totally fine. You're like north of 40 now, aren't you?
You know, in human years.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. God years? I mean, infant, you know?
That's
okay,
true.
Okay. I admit it. I may be a little past my quote-unquote teen years, but this Teen Study Bible is that good, man. I can't put it down. As a parent, I'm loving it.
It's true. The Teen Study Bible is a classic, right? It comes in updated editions now, available in NIV, King James, New King James versions, right?
Yeah.
And it has sold over 4 million copies.
I love the TSB, as I call it, the Teen Study Bible, because it helps teens discover how God's truths relate to their lives today and helps them apply God's words to issues they face, like bullying, depression, peer pressure, and stress.
And it features notes, articles, book intros, character profiles, Q&As, and more, offering the knowledge, strength, and clarity to navigate life's challenges with Scripture as your guide.
Find out more about the Teen Study Bible and order your copy today at amazon.com/teenstudybible.
So how would you say, to the point of how we all change over this past 18 years or 23 years, how would answer for each other, like how would you say Ellie is different today than she was 18 years ago, and same for Drew?
Oh, cool.
I would say that Ellie is more sort of open to lots of different points of views.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know you could stretch that far. That's amazing.
I can't. That's actually a friend of mine.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Speaking of your friends, do you ever bring your kids to the grocery store?
Oh, Dave, that's like the rookiest of rookie mistakes. Oh. No. In fact, you shouldn't even bring yourself to the grocery store.
Whoa.
It's Thrive Market all the way, Dave.
That was a trick question, and that is also the right answer, John. Thrive Market is our go-to for all our grocery and household essentials, and the convenience of ordering everything on their website or app and getting everything delivered to your doorstep quickly is a huge stress reliever.
Huge stress reliever. And the products are amazing. Mm-hmm. Plus, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks and trust that you're getting high-quality products so that you can shop worry-free.
Yes.
I don't like to shop worried. You know what I mean?
Worry shopping is the worst.
You just place an order for some gluten-free items, like using the gluten-free filter.
Ooh.
Boom. It just gives you all the gluten-free stuff.
Wow.
I got FitJoy grain-free pretzels.
Yeah.
PIP corn white cheddar cheese balls.
Guys, for those of us in the loop, it's called Pipcorn.
No, I call it PIP. It's, a Midwestern regional thing.
Totally.
And I got some Lotus ramen noodles.
You are off. You're just off.
I'm off to the races,
you are
Dave.
Crazy, John. Not only do I save time shopping as a Thrive Market member, I also save money on every single grocery order, over 30% each time on average.
That's crazy.
They even have a price match guarantee and a deals page that changes weekly.
That's right, Dave. In fact, on my last order, not to be competitive about it, but my last order of gluten-free items, the cost was $46. And I saved $11.
I saved 10 last time. Plus, when you join Thrive Market, you can enjoy it and join it, John. I was trying to make both those
words
work.
It's not an either or.
It's choose your own adventure, okay? And when you join and enjoy Thrive Market, you're also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. You join, they give.
Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/dadville for 30% off your first order, plus free $60 gift.
That's thrivemarket.com/dadville. thrivemarket.com/dadville. And join today.
I think we both grew up in sort of very particular sort of evangelical culture.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way kind of mentality about life, about marriage, about faith. And Ellie's just got such a like huge openness about her that's really beautiful that has been fun. I think that's part of it. She had to do that to cope with my contrarian spirit.
Right.
It's true.
And then I think Ellie has really, I think at that age, she was really afraid of her gifts in some ways. And now she's not at all. She's very like owns her giftedness.
Wow.
And her, you know, calling in life. It's just really, really cool. And then there's a really sweet one is that she's like way, way, way more on time than she was 18 years ago. And that is just an act of love.
And
are you
God.
On time because you,
and of God.
You know Drew wants?
That is what.
That's my love language. That's yeah. the missing chapter in the Love Languages book
yeah.
is being on time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not
yeah.
in there. They forgot. But it really is sweet to hear
she was
you
like,
say
what's,
that.
She's like, what's your love language? And I'm like, being on time.
Punctuality.
That's, like, yeah, that's punctuality. Not in this. There's not a chapter on that.
Like, well, you haven't read my
like,
book.
Yeah, you're like, I have,
like,
a, I have a Microsoft
I have a book
word.
Called The Six Love Languages.
It's coming out next spring. Guys.
Mine is physical touch and punctuality. Yeah. I mean, you can yeah. just imagine.
Yes.
I'm sorry, what's the second one? Punctuality.
Punctuality.
Punctuality. Yeah. Be early. Actually.
I mean, there's a lot of others, but those are just the yeah. top of
yeah.
my head.
Yeah. That's so interesting. That's really sweet to hear. That's a sweet question, first of all. But
I want to hear more about the being afraid of the gifts.
Oh,
like in what
sure.
way?
Oh. I think probably probably what he's referencing is I am a very reluctant musician.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up here in Nashville and saw firsthand my dad's producer.
Yeah.
And so I was very up
And legendary.
A yeah. legendary,
legendary
producer.
Producer.
Yeah, like
yeah.
piles of Grammys and yeah, Dove Awards yeah. in the Super attic. Set. He's not like, he's a very humble man.
He doesn't dabble.
No, he doesn't dabble. and so I grew up like loving music and seeing firsthand like how music is powerful to bring hope and connection and healing. But I also saw, I guess I am like pretty much 0% enamored with fame.
Mm-hmm.
I just like,
you were
from
front row
a really young age, I was like, being famous means you're in prison, basically. Because
yeah.
you
Jeez,
can't ever go anywhere
mm-hmm.
and just be yourself. And that sounded terrible to
yeah.
me. And yeah, I loved music, and music is like breathing to me. It's
such
like
a
how
big
I
part
process.
Of your
life. Yeah, it's how I've always processed faith, doubt, heartbreak. I was like a bad version of Taylor Swift in college, like writing songs like Charleston about Drew, you know, about your heart getting broken. And so, but I would sing those in the stairwells, and girls would line up in the stairwells. And so I learned that music was a bridge builder connecting our stories. But I was like, that's so cool. Again, powerful, powerful, not what I want. And so I think just saying yes to that particular set of gifts felt, I just knew the cost. And I'm a 7
right.
on the Enneagram, and
yeah.
I hate pain. And I'm like, cool, I know how to avoid that pain.
Uh-huh.
Don't do it.
Meanwhile, Drew, like Annie for me, is careening toward it at just
literally,
mock speed.
Literally. So
she's like, what's hard? That's our path. I'm like, well, do you know that? Look at the one to the right, actually.
Yeah, did
it's
you
like
know
really
there's
wide.
A gentle slope? Yeah.
But you don't get to go to the peak.
With a view, no less.
I know. And,
Amen. Yeah, rather than just climbing straight up
oh,
that
yeah,
mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
We could just go around
yeah, yeah.
the trail that's already
just
placed.
Just use your plane.
But see, we do this
yeah.
thing.
Just use your plane.
I think Ellie would attest this. We've done this thing now. So we've done it 3 times because we do it every 5-year major anniversary where we go do something really hard but really fun.
Mm.
So for 15, we climbed the Grand Teton, which is an actual straight up rock
yeah.
climb.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's a, and it was one of the hardest things we've ever done.
Yeah.
And I would say it was the perfect metaphor for marriage because it was super hard.
Mm.
It was like required a ton of trust, patience with each other.
Yeah.
And this third person, the guide, you know, which was, there's like a lot of metaphor in that too.
Mm.
But, and we got to the top and it was unbelievable. And we got done. We were like, I'm so glad we did that. That's one of the highlights of our marriage. Mm. We just did the dumbest, hardest thing that 40-year-olds can do. Go
we
rock climbing. There's like multiple places where it's 2,000 feet down. And you're, the only thing holding you up is your hands and a rope. You're like, wow.
And you guys don't rock climb.
Nope.
I mean, I have.
Yeah.
But not, no, we're not rock climbers. I don't own any gear.
Call us like, mild.
You just signed up one day and did it.
Well, we were going to try to do Kilimanjaro, but COVID
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did that. Not realize. I signed up.
She thought it was a hike.
This will be great. It's guided. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, great. I did not know. When we had our training day, I was like, what are we training for? What's walking, you know? And
you're over there like, oh, man.
And he
about to put on a harness.
Puts a harness. He's like, you're going to need a harness. And I was like, what? And he's like, so this is what we're going to climb today. And it is literally a sheer wall. Like, I was like, what?
And then she crushed it.
No, but he was a really good guide. Mm-hmm. And so it was so hard and so, you know, exhilarating, really, but really scary. And there was, and that's it. And that's marriage.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It is a really, I always say like, it's like the best work that I know that I've learned how to do because it is, man, it is work sometimes where you're like, oh, I do not want to own this, or I don't want to come to terms with myself in this way. And here is this person who's just witnessing it, and but who's still there, which is a gift. So
what about change with Drew?
There's some practical things. Like I thought he liked to shop, and he did not. And I thought he liked the sun. And
I did like to shop before we were married because everything she saw, I was like, I mean, that you look good in that. That'll be fun to take off.
Hey.
Apparently, yeah, that was so. I was like, I thought you loved shopping, and he was like, actually, no.
But to be fair, I do shop for you.
You do.
I like to do it without her.
Yeah, with me not there, with my indecision away. But like, so there are some like real practical things right away, and like I loved. He would like. We've been to the beach several times together with friends. He'd be out there all day. And on our honeymoon, I'm like, let's go to the beach. And he's like, I'm just going to sit here in the shade. And I was like, what?
Wait a second. You've duped me.
What? Like, I literally had tears on our honeymoon. I was like, he only likes the shade.
And with the storytelling going on right now.
It was just one time. You were in the sun with me a lot. But
she also says that she didn't marry a golfer.
And now
she's married to a golfer, which that's totally legitimate.
I'm literally when I said I do, I did not. I would have probably still married you if you were a golfer, but that would not have been on the plus list. That wouldn't have been on the reasons to marry him, golfer. No,
that's not a pro.
And Drew, I mean, you're not just a golfer. You're like an adventurous, ambitious golfer. So
Thank
it's not
you.
Like, it's one thing to be like, I mean, that needs to be said because people listening are like, what's wrong with golfers? But because, you know, guys who go to their local, like if you went to the golf club twice a week, like Brad or something, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, like Ellie said, you're scaling everything.
He has a top 20 list.
So it's like,
I got to go.
We're
going to Torrey Pines. We're going to,
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying this in a good way.
No, yes, that's true. I kind of went all in on it for sure.
Yeah. So it's not, I mean, it's not, to your point, Ellie, it's not like, oh, I married a guy who likes to golf. Like, you like adventurous golf.
Yes.
You want to go play all the course.
I love all the people that I've met through it. It's such an interesting, there's such an interesting intersection of athletes, musicians, and successful business people that happens.
They do it, yeah.
And so there's just a lot of fun to be had. And you know.
It's been a really, like, I can
genuinely say. I didn't mean to derail
your,
how have I changed?
No,
I just wanted to, that was more of a mea culpa.
Yeah. You need to submit.
That you didn't marry a golfer, and you are, and I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but it is.
Yes.
This is the
Here
reality now. Uh-huh. And it's. I'm actually interested. I'm like, I can't believe you didn't say about me because I used to avoid paint. I mean, just like a seven.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I did not. We did not have pretty much any conflict in our first 3 years. Not because there wasn't conflict,
right.
but because I was like, I'm fine. No, it's totally. And then
that's definitely the case.
I read this article 3 years, at 3 years on our third anniversary, my best friend gave me this article. She was like, at 3 years, everyone realizes they married the wrong person because they're a person.
Yeah.
Married to a person.
Yeah.
And it is your, and I was like, what a depressing article.
And I was like, that article's so true, right?
And, she's and like, I was like, what?
What? Yeah. But I'm the one.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Totally. So I think has been those kind of practical things, but that's been one of the main that was the foray, I think, into our actual, like, real marriage is when it, and what was so beautiful about Drew that's still true, this isn't the thing that has changed, but you have never, he's never shied away from anything that is hard. And
God, that's such an incredible trait.
It's such an incredible trait. And I remember we were in London. I had been in counseling, like intensive counseling. I kept being like, so when does Drew need to come? And they were like, actually, I think if you...
We've got some things to work on here.
I was just like, so he's definitely needing to hear from you too, right? And she's like, actually, I'm not saying that he doesn't have any of his stuff, but the way that I hear you talk about him, if you can be your authentic self and come and be real, he is going to respond. He's going to enter in with you. And I will never forget our first conflict that we had where I was really like... letting you into my pain, the intimacy into me, you see. We were in London and we were on the London Eye in line and we were having this conflict. And I feel like we might have even talked about this before, but I was not wanting to have the conflict in public. And he was just like, no, we're doing this. And I cried the whole way on the London Eye. It was a terrible.
Which
ride.
Is sort of, is that punny? Eye crying.
Eye crying. Yes, it is funny. And I didn't see anything from those views.
That's even more funny.
Yeah. Have my sunglasses on and close my eyes. But we went to the hotel lobby afterwards. It was Peroni beers that we got in the lobby. And I will always say, like, a Peroni beer is like the taste of hope to me. Because what happened was he was willing to sit with me in all of my verbal processing, all of my discomfort, I felt like a toddler. I wasn't good at explaining when I was upset or had been hurt. I didn't do that well. I had a lot of rough edges. And he was still sitting there at the end of it.
That's beautiful.
And I was like, Jeez. You're still here, like freaking 2 hours later. What? And he's like, yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
Which I imagine you'd probably be waiting on that moment, right?
Oh, yeah, yes. For sure.
Yes.
Yeah, like the best way that Ellie can love me is to be honest with me about something. To fight back. We did have this thing like in my family growing up, there was this whole language of apology was basically, I'm sorry doesn't really mean anything because it's not. So if you stub your toe, I could say, I'm sorry. I didn't make you stub your toe. It's just like, words of empathy. It's not necessarily an admission of guilt. So Ellie was more of the like, I'm sorry means I was wrong and it's over. And so she would say like, why can't you just say, you know, I'm sorry. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. She's like, I forgive you. I'd say I was wrong. I just said, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm sorry I hurt you, but you're taking me out of context here. And I still want to work through what actually happened. So in my family, it's, I'm sorry I was wrong. You know, that second half is like
the big deal.
Is the big deal. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was sort of like part of the thing is she, early on, she wanted, you know, she's upset. She's like, why can't you just say you're sorry? And I'm like, because we haven't talked about what you're upset about. We haven't. She just wanted the conflict to be over, not for there to actually be resolution and understanding between each other about what had happened. And so when she did that, which started like that time when she's talking about, I was like, yes, we can finally like get to know each other in this stuff. And
isn't it crazy too? That's 3 years in. I mean, I feel the same for Annie. I mean, I think a lot of couples, it's like we think about marriage and we're like, oh, once you're married, you're like married. And it's like, yeah, but I mean,
I mean, I think back on when Amy, those early couple of years, we got married in 06. I'm like, we did not even know each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that I felt like I knew her. I mean, I know I knew her at the time, but just like now we're in our 40s, we got kids. It's just like, it seems like we did not even know each other.
You're
it's
like,
such
those
a roll
kids?
Of the dice.
Those babies. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And I will say another thing that parallels Amy and my marriage and y'all too. Is one of the things that I am most grateful for with my wife is I never have to, she has no problem with conflict. She has no problem telling me how she feels about something. I'm a little more like you, Ellie, where I'm like, I can be fine. I can keep it all in and keep this ship moving, you know. I would never want to be, if Amy were like me, I would just be like a ball of anxiety all the time trying to figure out this, you know.
Where do I stand?
Yeah, like I'm trying to read her. I'm like, thank you the Lord. I don't have to do that.
Yeah,
no.
What a gift.
It's such a gift.
And sometimes it doesn't feel like a gift because you're like, well, there's a little more mystery around this. Right. How do you really feel?
Keep some of the mystery.
but it is such a beautiful thing to be seen as you are and where you are.
Yeah.
And to have somebody who's comfortable with that and who can sit.
Well, again, we're the same Enneagram number, and Drew and Annie are the same. There was nothing more transformative potentially for me in our marriage, for me. I don't think Annie would say this, than when I just learned to tell her the truth. Like if she was, especially when it came to something she's dreaming about or she's cooked up that, like, much like you, she's an instigator. She loves that stuff. And finally being, I'll never, this was not that long ago. I mean, like a few years ago.
Right.
In that space. Other spaces, it was fine. But like when I knew she had invested, and I'm like, oh God, I don't want to do this. And she's like, hey, I think we should do this thing. It's this and here. And I just was like, I don't want to do that. And she was like, why? And then the thing that I have to get ready for is the blowback, and that's where I would always give, because she'd
You're like, never mind. No, I actually do want to do it.
I thought you said that weekend. This weekend is great. Let's do it. And so I had to learn, like, withstand the blowback. Just, like, plant your feet.
Yeah.
Because after that, it's wonderful, because she goes, well, why? And, like, and then it's fine. But I would always give on that first pushback, because I was like, God, the energy coming off this woman is so strong.
It's,
and I know it means
terrifying.
But she was so thankful.
That's
like she would eventually, like, and it may be a few days later, I could feel that she was like, thank you for telling me the truth.
Yes.
Instead of going like, you know what, let's do it. And then I'm either moping on the trip or like, mm-hmm. I'm not helping plan because I don't want to go.
Totally.
You know,
Totally. I've learned to trust that. And Ellie, I think probably like Annie, there's one thing that is tricky. Or a pitfall for someone with my personality is that I know I can win if I fight hard enough.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's been multiple instances I could look back where I kind of bulldozed Ellie into something or away from something, you know? And so I've learned, especially in the last maybe 5 years, that when Ellie really speaks up and has a gut about something, it's really important for me to listen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's learned some points when to say that, but then also to not ask anything. Just say, I just want you to know that this is hard. I'm not telling you to not do it or to stop to not go, but you need to know that this is really hard for me.
Yeah.
And this is a cost. So it's learning to listen to that and not try to fix it and not be.
Yeah.
We were pretty codependent for a long time.
No, man. You know? Same.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Quick story. The first lesson Annie learned, which she would tell you was so helpful for her, it was like, we've been married, there's four kids, I don't know, 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. It was the busiest year that I'd ever have touring. I was like 100 plus dates, which for me is
a lot.
A ton.
That's a ton
for anybody.
Yeah. And so we had, she was home working when she was still practicing pharmacy. And so she was like, and she's an adventurer. She likes going. That's like where she's the most alive. So the whole year, I'd just been going and going and going and going. And I could not wait to be home for Christmas. Like, I was like, I want to walk through the malls and see the lights and going. Like, I just want everything stereotypical Christmas. Mm-hmm. And so we get a call from Barrett, and he's like at Mo Club. And he's like, hey, we've got a December trip to go to Egypt and Kenya. I'd love to take y'all. And I'm like, I couldn't say no fat. I was like, I want to be home. And hey. We should do this. And it's all the energy. It's there. And I'm like, she's like, what if we do that? And then we do Italy for a week after. And I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. But I'm like,
that's actually extra.
That's more. Yeah. So I don't stand my ground. We do the trip. And the first part, actually, we did Italy. And so we land, I'll never forget this. We get to our hotel room, like, you know, it's 9 a.m. We're unpacking. And I sit on the bed. She's getting ready. And I start weeping. Like, bowels of Sheol weeping.
Yeah.
And she sticks her head out and she's like, oh my God, what's wrong? And I was like, I don't want to be here. And it was her first brush with, like, oh, what have I done?
Yeah.
What have I done? Mm-hmm. And it ended up being, of course, an amazing trip, because she said, she's like, oh God. Like, she was terrified. I'll never forget that look in her eyes. She's like, I have broken him. She's like, tell me what you need. I was like, okay. I need this to be fun and easy. And because she's like, we're going to get up at 6 a.m. everyone. We're hitting the, and I was like, I can't do that. And she's like, we will not do that. It was like, and I was like, when I want to stop and get coffee, I want to stop. And she's like, we will stop and get coffee. And it was like, so the whole trip ended up being this beautiful thing.
Wow.
But that was the moment for us where she was like, oh, what have I done?
I
and
can't.
I was like, oh, I didn't stand my ground. You know, it's like,
it's not, you got to stand your ground.
Yeah.
And that, and me too. That's my lesson too. I'm like, oh, I'm in my 40s and I'm like, I'm still learning to like sink from my head into this knowing place in my heart and my gut of like, no, I can't say yes to that. And it's, if you need to, great.
Yeah.
Also, if you say yes to this, this is what it's going to mean for me. And a lot of times it's still a yes, but there's a bearing witness.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You're going to do what you're going to do. We can give each other space for that.
Well, you know what's hard too is that it's what you guys are so gifted at is like there is so much fun. It's adventure. It is memories. Like, so I struggle still. We were planning a trip last night and there's always a part of me that's like, oh gosh, okay, what's this? Okay, that's going to work and it's going to be great. But like, you know, Annie's, this is where she is glowing with joy and learning, like, you know, I have to do so much, like, okay, is this just me dreading the work this is going to take and how much it's going to cost, or is this really something I don't want to do?
Yeah.
And that's what I've had to learn.
It's fine. Deciphering like, that then being like, oh, this is my stuff.
And the guilt trip I'm putting on me of like, oh, you're going to squash your wife's dreams. Like she, you know, like I'm just, you know, putting the hose on her fire, which is like, we're going to do. And, you know, and I've had to learn for myself, like, Dave, you just, a lot of this, you got to be selfless. And then every now and then you do have a viable reason to go, okay, babe, like, this is what it already looks like, and we got this going on. I don't know if this is good.
Maybe.
You know? Well, we had this thing, like, so I do take a fair number of, like, fun trips, like, you know, whether it's golf or I'm going skiing with my brother or duck hunting with my dad and brother. And there was a season maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, especially when Emmylou was little, Heavy Huck was just born, and Ellie was like, well, I want to do this stuff. I want to go do some stuff. And I was like, please.
Yeah.
Go
do
some stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's like the mom guilt thing that I think is like just a bunch of lies that moms tell themselves and a bunch of husbands that don't want to like lean in and parent alone.
Yep.
Talking to you, some of you dads out there, send your wife to the beach and you're not invited.
That's right. That's right.
And so she started doing these national park trips with her friends and annual beach trip. And it's been, I think it's been really trying to, she doesn't need my permission, but needed my encouragement because of what culture has told her about how she can't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Has really freed her up to like dream her own dreams. And so she got really into gardening and creating some, Al Andrews, our counselor, would say the differentiation is really healthy.
Yes.
That we don't have to be a part of everything each other
does.
That's
exactly right.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's that codependent stuff too.
Totally.
It's really tricky.
It's really tricky. And so I'm so proud of Ellie for paving her own way, both professionally and for personally, that I think has given us both more to like root for each other, more to hear about from each other. We're not just totally all intertwined.
Yeah.
You know, and there's plenty that is, but it's been, that's another sort of thing that's been different over the last.
Yeah.
And you bring more in.
That's right. That's totally right. That's so true.
Yeah. If you have your own things.
Yes, you come back full. Yeah. You have more energy.
It is true. And I remember when we had that conversation with Al, you know, I was like, we were coming. We kind of realized, like, I think I need to, like, get Emmylou home and quit the band. And at that point, we had built this thing together for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And it was going great.
Yeah.
It was, like, the wrong time. Like technically, you know, like to walk away on paper walk away.
We just put out our most successful album, most successful tour.
We had a Europe tour on the, it was like, oh, this is great. It's going great. But, it was, we were like, we're thinking that Ellie's going to leave the band and just start being a songwriter, being at home with Emmylou more. And he just started crying and we were like, oh yeah, this is a bad idea. Okay. And he's like, no, this is differentiation. This is individuation. And you are saying, Ellie, you keep wanting to write songs about your faith. That's in you. Mm. Let that out. Mm. Be who God made you to be. and me saying, you know, so there
but
is
on
like
her own,
a,
but her own yeah. record, not yeah. this is mm-hmm. different than what we do. You need to go.
We don't have to,
you know,
we don't have to, we don't have to and shouldn't be the same person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause God yeah. made us each differently. And so, I think that has been a really beautiful thing. People ask us sometimes, do you ever feel competitive with one another? And we're really in pretty much different spaces. So,
yeah.
But mainly what
our jealousies are more, you know, sort of built around how we do things.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that's well said. That's
you're
well
like,
said.
Like, oh, I wish I could.
Not necessarily
whatever, the
what
way
you've
you,
done.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
and,
beautiful.
And I think in general, overshadowing any jealousy or hard parts, like the rub of that, when it does rub, overshadowing that would be like an overwhelming sense of A, empathy to know like how hard this work is.
Yeah.
Empathy to know how hard the work is of staying at home because we
yeah.
both mm-hmm. do that.
Yeah,
for sure.
And then like a deep admiration and respect of who God made each one of us to be and the gifts that he's given us to use. So it's been such a beautiful thing. And I'll say this is different about Drew to answer, to like swing all the way back around. I would say that there is a tenderness in Drew that I did not know was there. That
it wasn't
really,
there back then, to be honest.
Yeah, it wow. really, yeah. like, it, I think it was, but just like deep under the ground, like, you know, wintering yeah. for all the years of your life until Emmylou was born. And then it literally,
yeah,
something
unlocks.
Shifted in your in your heart and your spirit. That's not just associated with your love of our kids and our children. It's like, I don't know. I think of like Narnia thawing. Not that you were like this cold, awful person, but it has, that tenderness in you has, I mean, at one point Drew was in counseling. He was like, I need to go, you know, like, wrestle some things down, which, and I'm like, not scared of anything hard. Definitely did that. And all of a sudden I was like, I need to go see your counselor because you're a different person.
Wow.
And because you,
part of it was just the language. I learned a new language of, instead of, you know, you did this. No. I'm like, hey, I'm feeling pretty lonely now because of what you just said.
Yep.
And, I'm really angry about, you know, just like, using words that to describe the emotions that I was feeling instead of accusing
great.
And defending. So it was a matter of like putting away the weapons and just using words to express,
that's great.
You know, hey, when you canceled this thing that I told you was important to me, it made me feel really small and I feel very lonely in that.
Yeah, that's.
I'm lonely and I'm angry.
So
and I was
you
like, you don't
fight
have...
about that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
You have to just go, oh, well, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Honestly, at first, I was like, you don't have feelings. You're fine. You're so strong. You know. And...
Well, it's a huge thing for both of you. It's exactly what we're talking about with marriage. Is that you? That change is seismic. So. For
it
both of you, because you're like, this is not a language even I as Ellie know how to speak, because I've never had to, because I've known how to deal with you in this one context.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, it's like there's just new things for everybody. You
yeah,
know?
And I think a willingness, eights and still, Drew, you, like they can carry the freaking world on their shoulders. It is like an unbelievable thing to watch how the capacity of you and it has been really beautiful. I think one thing that is different about Drew is his willingness to embrace places of weakness or where you're like, I need some help, or this isn't mine to carry, and an openness to not having to fix
everything.
Or carry everything. And that has been really beautiful to watch. And then to pick up things that maybe would be smaller. I mean, just in the parenting, I think, realm, it has been so beautiful. You know, you are very much yourself. And we have a little boy. Our middle son is this, like, deeply introverted, like, tender-hearted. He, and so watching Drew... son, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And seeing the way even that he parents, you know, this like tender little heart is like, oh, he needs something different than I need. And yeah, it's been a really beautiful thing to watch that kind of, when I say melt like Narnia, just seep into every area of your
Watch this, the green that's underneath it.
True.
There we go.
Exactly.
Listen, I know y'all have got to go. So I just want to say thank y'all so much for your time. What a great hang. And it's so fun because as long as I've known y'all, there's so many things I didn't know about these things. So it's fun because it's like gathering some more intel on all things true enough. So before we go, is there anything coming up people should know about? Like shows, albums, things?
Yeah, we do a duo tour. It's our one thing we do together every year. That's in February.
Yep.
14th through the 29th. And then we've got a tour with the band all April, May. We've got lots of new music on the horizon. That's always true nowadays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a record and a book coming out this spring. Ooh.
What are those?
The book is Fighting Words. It's like an extended version of this little devotional that I wrote. That's like 100 days of speaking light into the darkness. And so we added 10 more days to that 100 days. It's 110 days of speaking light into the darkness. And really good at math. And but what I wanted to do is make a record that could be a companion to that. And so it's called All of My Days. And it's a bunch of psalms, pretty much straight psalms, like written into
music.
Song. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
To kind of help bury some light in people's hearts. So I hope it'll be green pasture, speaking of green.
Look at you.
Just bringing it back around.
Well, thank y'all.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. So appreciate it.
Super excited. Dead fish.